Hello, and welcome back to The Relentless Pursuit. I'm Jill Faraday-Lloyd, financial advisor and partner at the Chance Mantione Group, UBS. Today, I'm excited to welcome back my colleague and dear friend, Carrie Schuffman, who's the head of UBS's Women's Segment in the Americas. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Jill. It's great to be with you today. Thanks for having me on the podcast again and for that lovely introduction.
Anytime. Carrie, you've been with me many times talking about issues specifically around women and investing. So welcome back. And I want to dive in. Before we dive in, I'd love for you to sort of quickly remind the listeners what the women's segment is all about and what you do with your research.
Sure, absolutely. And again, it's great to be back on. And so if you're listening for the first time or if you've heard Jill and I have conversations before, just as a quick overview, the women's segment at UBS is responsible for the development and implementation of our strategy as a firm to address the unique financial needs that women have throughout the course of their lifetime. So I would say that ultimately our goal is threefold. It's to bring more women to the financial table, to support women who are already at that financial table, and ultimately to make that table a more inclusive place for women. So everything that we do is really focused on increasing women's financial and hopefully thus overall well-being. And we do that through a number of different ways. We do research, Jill, as you mentioned, events, programming, we provide educational resources, we work directly with great advisor teams like yours, Jill, and much more. But I would say ultimately the research, our research is called Own Your Worth, is really the backbone of everything that we do, since it informs our strategy and really helps us better understand how to approach the topic of women's financial well-being. So we actually, every year for the last 7-8 years, we've actually gone out and spoken to and surveyed and heard from real women, thousands and thousands of women and men across the U.S. and even around the world from all different backgrounds, life and financial situations, ages, generations, professions, races, ethnicities, marital statuses, all so that we can actually hear directly from women how they think about their financial life, what their top financial priorities are, why and how they are or maybe are not involved in making major financial decisions, all in an interest to really be as well positioned as possible to serve women on their terms when it comes to their financial lives.
I'm actually so proud of the work that UBS does, the Own Your Worth work. It's proprietary research. It really does help all of our advisors become more attuned to the needs of women investors. So thank you for all you do, Carrie. I'm really excited about this latest Own Your Worth research. It's titled Wealth and the Single Woman, Opportunities and Challenges of Being in Financial Control. I think we're all aware that there's a declining marriage rate, there's high divorce rate, and women are living longer than men, long life expectancies. So we know there's more single women in the world than ever before. So with that in mind, what did the research find?
Sure, absolutely. And you said it perfectly, Jill. Single women in the U.S. are a significantly growing percentage of the population and a critical demographic of women for us to focus on as it pertains to their financial lives, again, in keeping with our fundamental belief that women are a population. And there are many different demographics of women in that population, including this growing demographic of high-earning single women. And so that's really who we chose to focus on with this latest report, as you mentioned, titled Wealth and the Single Woman, that we just came out with last month. So what we found in that report in surveying hundreds and hundreds of high-earning single women who are the sole financial decision makers for their household, we found that overwhelmingly the majority of these high-earning single women take great pride in managing their finances on their own. In fact, 90% of the women that we surveyed said that they feel very proud of managing their finances on their own. And I think that's something that we should really recognize and celebrate. However, we do see and we found in our research that there are some challenges that single women face on the path to greater financial participation, whether those are challenges sort of internally that they face when it comes to maybe financial confidence, challenges they might face from a financial services industry perspective that really demonstrate the opportunity for us as an industry to collectively try to do better and raise the bar in meeting the needs of single women. So that's really what we found. And for example, on some of those challenges, we heard from single women that they still feel less confident in making major financial decisions than their single male counterparts overall. And the majority of single women that we surveyed said they feel they have to work harder to really manage their money on their own than women and men and couples do. And then lastly, I would say one of the other major findings was that almost two-thirds of the single women that we surveyed said that they are worried about getting the right financial advice for them. So clearly that's something that we need to really try to solve for.
Yeah, that's the point that really stood out for me, worried about getting the quote-unquote right advice. What is that and why is that?
I would say it really jumped out to me and to our team and to all of us doing the research too, Jill. And I think it's for a number of reasons. And I think we can actually look to some of the other key findings and highlights from the report to kind of paint a picture of why that is, why so many single women said that they have concerns about getting the right financial advice. So one of the things that we heard from single women very clearly is that many feel that the financial services industry has historically catered more to men. And that many single women also feel that the industry is more geared toward what they cited as more traditional families. I think that that kind of tells a story of perhaps some single women, many single women even, not getting advice that they feel is uniquely tailored to them and their unique financial situation, recognizing that the individual needs of single women, there are differences that exist within their financial journeys, their needs, their lives, compared to the financial journeys of those in other demographics, whether that's single men, whether that's women in couples. We're all different and everyone deserves to have that customized financial advice that is unique to them and their financial situation. I think that also alludes to some of the potential biases or assumptions that we want to try to avoid that it seems that single women may feel in terms of those providing advice may be viewing their status as single as temporary or making assumptions about future marital status when providing advice in the context of their current single status. But in reality, and I think this is really interesting and extremely important, the research that we did also clearly negates that assumption. In fact, over half of single women we surveyed said they're not interested in getting married in the foreseeable future. Even if they were to get married, the vast majority say they want to maintain financial control if they were to enter a partnership. So again, I think it's critical that single women's financial needs are really met on their terms. And certainly, I would say, Jill, part of solving for that problem, solving for that dynamic that clearly still exists, starts with recognizing and acknowledging that there's a problem to begin with, which is really what we sought to do with this latest report so that we can then really try to affect change.
That's so interesting. You keep talking about the financial needs of single women. So I work predominantly with female clients. Some are married, some are single, some are single on purpose, some are suddenly single through divorce or widowhood. And the main needs for them is basically retirement and security. What are the top financial needs that you're finding through this study of single women?
Look, I think, Jill, you are doing this each and every day, so you have a really keen insight into the key needs of the women that you work with, whether they're single, whether they're married, divorced, widowed, across all different ages and life situations. And certainly, I think retirement planning is absolutely one of those. So again, we knew if we were going to publish a report focused on the financial experiences of single women, that it was critical for us to actually then also understand and hear what are those key financial priorities that single women cite. And so in our research, we heard very clearly the top five needs were really retirement planning. So almost 80% of single women that we surveyed cited that. Maintaining an emergency fund. So about 70% of women cited that as a top need. Budgeting and long-term care planning were tied at about two-thirds of women citing that was extremely important to them. And then finally, tax planning. And of course, UBS doesn't provide tax advice, but I think it's important to have that need in the context of the overarching picture that was painted around what are those top financial needs.
Especially for women who are really high-earning women with restricted stock units or options, right? There's a lot of tax ramifications around that. And timing those is critical. Anecdotally, I would tell you, Carrie, that I have like three or four clients who are extraordinarily wealthy who have all said pretty much the same thing to me, which is, I want to make sure that I'm not eating cat food when I'm older. And they are so wealthy. They're going to have more money than they could ever spend, their children could ever spend. But it is this idea that, wow, I want that security. I need that emergency fund. I want to make sure that I'm taken care of at the end of my day. So to hear the needs align with some of the needs that my clients are seeing makes a lot of sense to me.
I'm so glad to hear that. That's the point of our research, right? We want it to really mirror and echo what our advisors like you are seeing and hearing from their clients specifically, so that it can help us figure out, all right, how can we do that, right? How can we make sure that women who are approaching retirement, whether they're single, whether they're married, regardless of their unique situation, don't feel that deep concern of, will I run out of money? Will I be in a position or a situation where I can't maintain my lifestyle? Because we want to, of course, try to solve for that and mitigate those concerns and mitigate that potential reality through financial planning, through wise financial decisions, tax planning, budgeting. And I think some of that also comes down to budgeting, which again, we heard was sort of that third top financial need. And one of the things we always talk about is people hear the word budget and they think of limitations, but really I think budgeting is about opportunity. It's the opportunity to see your money will last for the entirety of your life, even if you are able to live to 100 or whatever that might be, that can be a reality with the right planning, the right budget. A budget allows you to see how much you could leave to loved ones or what type of monthly spend you can have, whatever it might be. I think that that's really important. And it's actually interesting. I would also note those top financial priorities, retirement planning, having an emergency fund, budgeting, long-term care planning, and tax planning, were actually pretty closely aligned with the top financial priorities that women primary earners, so high-earning women breadwinners, cited in our earlier 2023 Own Your Worth report that we published back in June. So I would say clearly across the board, there seem to be some similarities in the needs of high-earning women, regardless of their marital status.
I thought that was an excellent report. Do you want to give a quick overview, a reminder of that, and see how these two pieces really work hand in hand?
Sure, absolutely. So I know I joined you back in June to talk about that piece, but just as a refresher, because I think it was a really interesting piece that ties to this latest piece. That report we published in June of 2023 was called Tradition, Trust, and Time. And that report looked at the experiences and challenges of high-earning, primary-earning women and couples when it came to their path to greater financial participation. And what we found was that even among women who are the primary breadwinners, the primary earners in their household, in couples, many still defer major financial decisions to a spouse or partner and are not as actively involved in making decisions about where their hard-won earnings go. And ultimately, that came down to three key reasons or three key challenges that are causing this dynamic. And as the report aptly states, those three challenges were tradition, trust, and time. So tradition, falling into more traditional gender roles around money within the home and navigating both societal expectations as well as expectations and stereotypes within a couple. Time constraints, of course, I think this resonates with all of us. We're all so incredibly busy. But the burden of other responsibilities facing women breadwinners prevented them from having the time always to be involved in financial decisions, particularly, I would say, household and childcare responsibilities that even among women breadwinners, they said they overwhelmingly managed. And then lastly, trust. Trust issues around financial decisions, tension within partnerships about who makes the financial decisions. So those were some of the reasons that we heard. I will mention, and I think it's important to say, that those challenges were much more pronounced among women breadwinners in heterosexual couples than in same-sex couples. But again, I think we saw some of these challenges across the board that we want to try to solve for. And then kind of the second part of your question, I would say that these pieces ultimately go hand in hand, again, because of our fundamental belief that women are a population, not a segment. That's how we've approached all of our Own Your Worth research over the years. And for this year in 2023, what really I think was the catalyst for this latest, these two pieces of research, we know that women are making tremendous advances in labor force participation, in career advancement, and in a Pew Research report from earlier in 2023 said that women are contributing more to their household income than ever before in history. And so we actually wanted to try to explore the experience of these high-earning women when it comes to their financial lives, but recognize that we should look at both high-earning women in couples, as that report on women breadwinners did in June, who are the primary earners, as well as high-earning women who are the sole earners for their households, as we just did with this follow-up report on single women that we published in October of 2023. So that's sort of kind of how you can look at the entire picture of the two pieces that we published this year.
Well, I can't wait to see what's next. Do you want to give us a sneak preview? Are you allowed to?
Sure. I can't say too much about our upcoming research. What I will say is we've published at least one Own Your Worth report every single year for the last going on 6 years. So we are planning to do more research in 2024 to kind of continue our commitment to the Own Your Worth research and to all everything that we do as part of our commitment to women's financial well-being as a firm and as a team. So looking forward to that. And I'm sure, Jill, that I'll be back on the podcast to talk about that research when it comes out next year. And then I would say if anyone's interested in learning more or reading the reports that I've mentioned today, you can find all of our prior research of the last many years and more on our website, ubs.com/women, ubs.com/women. And of course, you can also reach out to Jill and to the Shands Mantione team for that research or to have any follow-up discussion around what we've talked about today.
Carrie, thanks. I'm sorry, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you for sharing your research. I want to thank you for sharing your time. And we're super grateful for all that the Own Your Worth team is doing to help women investors across the globe. Thank you, Carrie, for joining me.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.